away some land and just keep the peace, understand that's God's land. And understand He's got a covenant with His people. So it's just not that easy to give away something that belongs to God. It's His covenant. Amen. I want our graduates and their families to come up here on this front row right over here. I've got a message for our graduates, but I trust that all of us will be able to glean something from it today. And I want them to come up here as we honor them today. And you can all be seated, including the graduates and their families. I would like to say that I am proud of our graduates. This is quite an accomplishment. This achievement is one of the first and great accomplishments of their lives. It marks 12 plus years of hard work, study, dedication, and commitment. I will say to these graduates that you've learned a lot. A lot of things will serve you well in life. Some things will make you more well-rounded as a person. Some things will help you in your conversations in the future. And some things you will never, ever need or use the rest of your entire life. But you made it. You made it. You've learned from even some faculty and some teachers. You've learned some things you would like to be and some things that you would not like to be. You've learned some behaviors of some things that you would like to pattern yourself after some of your teachers and instructors, and some of them you've learned how not to be. I would like to give a little bit of advice to our graduates. I would like to tell them to value your parents. They love you more than you know, and you need them more than you think. And so there is a season that you're coming up on where the older that you get now, the more that your parents are going to be start to become brilliant again, like they were when you were children. And you're going to see the value of their leadership. And parents, I will say that you are now transitioning into an advisory role. It's a very difficult time. I've been there. Going from sole authority to moving into an advisory role as your kids become older and become adults. So value your parents. Number two, don't chase money. Money is useful. Budget it well. I heard a wealthy man say one time, tell your money where to go or you're going to wonder where it went. And so don't wait for a big windfall to come to fix your money problems. Most money problems are one pizza at a time, one pair of shoes at a time, one round of golf at a time. It's just these little expenditures over time that will chew away at the resources that God has put into your care. So budget well. You will never feel like you have enough of it, and it will never give you happiness. But the lack of it or the mishandling of it can lead to some of the worst stress in your life. Learn to live within your income and totally despise credit cards. I was probably 18. I was walking through Westland Mall that's now being bulldozed. And I was walking out of the doors of either Sears or JCPenney's. I think it was Sears. And I was walking out. A lady looked at me and she said, are you 18 or older? And I said, yes. And I said it with great confidence because, yes, I'm finally an adult. And she said, would you like a free umbrella? I didn't need an umbrella. I'm a dude. I walk in the rain. But I said, sure. She said, well, just fill out this application. And I did. I walked away with this free umbrella that was about this long. I was like, that wasn't so bad. About 6 months later, I got some brake work done on my truck. And I took it to Sears Automotive Center because I had a credit card for there. Well, it was all kinds of repairs and the calipers and the rotors and the master cylinder and all this, and it came to about $500, which was a lot of money then. And so I put it on my charge card. I only had to pay like $20 a month. Piece of cake. Well, by the time I paid that off, it was like $1,200. And I paid it off early. Had I not paid off that credit card early, that $500 brake job would have probably cost me $8,000 for my free umbrella. That free umbrella cost me $600. Credit, compounding interest, can be a great thing if you're saving money. It can be crushing if you get behind in credit. So only use them for emergencies. The third thing I would like to encourage you is to be an encourager. It is a superpower today. It's a very angry world. And so anybody that can encourage somebody is a bright light no matter where you are. And people want to be around somebody like that. It can totally change a person's day or life. I can still remember encouraging words some people told me decades ago. How many of you remember Homer Henson? Homer Henson was here. Homer and Nancy Henson were here back at 2106 Sullivan. And he said some encouraging words when I got into a sales job one time. And I still remember those words. It can build you. It can build a person. It can help a person. And it costs you nothing to do. It doesn't have to be a special skill set for you to be an encourager. But yet it can be, although it costs you nothing, it can be priceless to the one that you're giving it to. The fourth thing I'd like to tell you is to seek mentors. Find someone that you admire and can look up to as an example. In almost every area of life, a good coach is worth their weight in gold, a good person coach, a good somebody that you want to pattern your life after. Find someone ahead of you in the journey that you can look up to in your walk with God, your career, your marriage, your parenting, and anything else that you want to succeed in. Find other people that you want to emulate and find out what they're doing and use them as your high watermark. Number five, choose happiness. Happiness is a choice, believe it or not. In fact, any emotion is a choice that you choose. A number of years ago, I came home after being newly married, and I told my wife, I was talking about an individual, I said, they made me mad. And she said, no, they didn't. Yes, they did. She said, well, you shouldn't give them that much power. I said, I can't help it, they're an idiot. I can't help it, they're rude. I can't help it, they don't know what they're doing. And she said, well, but you choose your response to that. And she said, your response is your choice. They can be all those things, but you don't have to be mad. If they made you mad, then you gave that person too much power. Now she's making me mad. I realized what she was telling me is I have power over my emotions. I choose those things. And so that has led me on a very long journey in my life of choosing what I'm going to do, what I'm going to say, what I'm going to feel, not based on my circumstances, not based on other people. You will go far if you learn how to not be a slave by your emotions and letting other people control or manipulate your feelings. Those are your feelings. You control that. Don't give those away to somebody else to have somebody that cuts you off in traffic ruin your day. That's not you. If you want to give them that power, that's fine, but I would ask that you don't. With that, not only do you not choose to get angry, but I'm asking you to choose happiness. You decide to be happy or not. Not things, not people, not circumstances, not money, not places, not things. I once knew a person a number of years ago, 30, 40 years ago. They had a pretty good life. Anybody would look at their life and say they have a good life. But this person would always say, I'll be happy when, and then just fill in the blank. I'll be happy when I get a boyfriend. This was a girl, consequently. I'll be happy when I get a boyfriend. I'll be happy when I get married. I'll be happy when I get a car. And they'd get a car. They'd get a boyfriend. They'd get a car. Well, I'll be happy when I get married. They'd get married. I'll be happy when we get a house. They'd get a house. And finally, they said it one too many times. They said, I'll be happy when. And I said, why don't you just get happy now? What they were saying is, I'm going to allow these things to dictate whether I have happiness. So I'm going to ask you, graduates, to choose happiness. And don't let circumstances or things determine that. Wherever you are, you can still choose happiness. Happiness isn't an emotion that accompanies perfect circumstances. If that was the case, everybody in Hollywood, every politician, everybody with power, everybody with wealth, every rich person, everybody that is a movie star or a singing star would be happy, but they're not. In fact, they're worse off than most Americans with all the wealth, with all the looks, with all they have. They should have everything by how we judge what happiness should be. And they are some of the most unhappy people on the planet. So that doesn't necessarily dictate happiness. I've heard that Disney is the happiest place on earth. I've been to Disney. I've seen crying kids and screaming parents. They lied. You can be happy in Disney if you want to be happy. You can be happy at Westgate Park if you want to be happy. You can be happy anywhere you choose to be happy. The sixth thing is, I would ask you to follow Christ. These aren't in order of importance, but these are all important. But I want you to make a decision to really follow him, to do his will, not to ask him to help you do your will. Now, there's going to be certain things you're going to do in life that you're going to ask his help for, but you're always going to want to make sure that you're in the context of doing his will. How many of you have ever seen the bumper sticker, Jesus is my co-pilot? Dumbest bumper sticker ever. Hope you don't have one on your car. What you're saying is, I'm asking him to come along for the ride. I'm making the decisions, but if I get in trouble, then I want him to take over. Jesus, take the wheel isn't just when you're getting ready to be in an accident because you've made a wreck out of your life. Jesus should have the wheel anyway. Jesus, you should have asked Jesus to take the wheel when things were going well. In the song, she's sliding off the highway, Jesus, take the wheel, which is where most of us find the Lord. But I'm asking you, while things are good and you've been raised in church, both of you, you're going to need to make a decision for yourself. What am I going to believe? The time of worshiping and praising God and going to church because mom and dad did is now going to be on you and your choices. So choose to follow Christ. Number seven, live life intentionally. In all aspects of your life, your time, your money, your habits, your relationships, be very intentional in what you allow in. And don't allow society or your friends to tell you what is important. Choose for yourself. Remember, the first steps in crafting life that you want is to get rid of everything you don't. I read a story a few weeks ago of a violinist that had to have planned neglect. And what that planned neglect was is she had to plan to neglect doing other things in her life so she could make playing the violin her priority. And so be intentional with life. When I went to Bible college a number of years ago, Pastor Cisco said, choose your friends, don't let your friends choose you. And that was odd to me because I try to be friendly to everybody. But what he understood is the power of being intentional. What he was saying is, pick friends that are higher caliber than you. Hang out with people that will help you to grow. Be friendly to everybody, but don't just hang out with people that are going to continue to drag you down. Don't hang out with people that are going to continue to not do the right things. Don't hang out with people. Don't spend a lot of time. Help them, speak into their life as much as you can, but don't spend a lot of time with those people because you will eventually become like them. And we've all heard people say, you show me your friends and I'll show you your future. So what he was trying to get me to do is to pick friends that were intentional. So consequently, I went to Bible school and found the highest caliber people I could find and became their friends. Still friends with them to this day. Develop and maintain, number eight, develop and maintain friendships. Spend time with people, real people. Because real people will be the most meaningful experiences in your life. Not social media friends. Not social media people that you have some kind of internet relationship with, because they're not going to be there with you to help you change a tire. They're not going to be there when you're really in a crisis and need to help you to process through big decisions in your life. Real people will be the ones that are there for you when you're in need. I saw a graph the other day. I was watching something, and it was showing, you know, before social media even existed, it showed where people spend their time, and it had this graph, and it was started in, I think, about the 70s. And it showed this graph, how much time people spend with friends, how much time people spend doing this, how much time they spend at work, how much time they spend watching TV, and all these graphs. Then it would change it year by year, boom, next year. And it was always, the most time was always on top. So things started shifting. Well, all of a sudden, in about the late 80s, 90s, internet and then social media started happening. That wasn't even a thing when I was your age. But then when it became a thing, it started getting traction. And then every year, exponentially, it grew to where all of a sudden it just went way past. And consequently, at the same time, spending time with friends and family kept doing this. Because you got to spend it somewhere, and you can't do it all at the same time. Just because you go to family night, if you're on your phone all night, you're not really having family night. If you're having dinner with the family, but everybody's on their phones, you're not really having family dinner. But it showed all this. So it was telling how tragic it is that we have become so disconnected with people and relationships and friends because of social media. So be mindful of that and develop and maintain friendships. Number nine, I have two left. Think of others. The Bible talks about this in Philippians 2:4. Not to live life looking out for your own interests, but to look out also for the interest of others. The slogan when I was about your age was look out for number one. And it was a slogan to try to get people to try to excel and try to, you know, make sure that you are doing what's right for you. And with that, it was a very godless principle of just being selfish and just look out for yourself. You do have to be mindful of things. I'm challenging you today with these things. So I do want you to consider yourself, but also to be mindful of others and be helpful for others. And finally, number 10, love people and use things. Don't use people and love things. I've seen people destroyed and destroy others because they were more interested in things and they loved things and they would use people to get things. And that is a very shallow existence. Today a chapter closes, but there are many exciting chapters yet to be opened in your young life. I will say that we are proud of you and excited for you. And we celebrate you both for a job well done. And we celebrate with you for a well-deserved break. So let's give these graduates a hand today. So I the message that I have for our graduates today is really in the form of a question. So the title of the message today is, Now What? So you've graduated all this time in school. Now what? What are you going to do now? What's the rest of your life look like? This has been laid out for you. The classes that you took, for the most part, were laid out for you. The last few years of school, you got to pick electives. But for the most part, going to school and studying and much of your life has been decided for you by your parents and the school system. But now what? Now you have choices to make. What will you do now? Will you seek the will of God or will you do your own thing? Now what? All that pressure, all that freedom and pressure is now on you. Is there anybody that but me thought that you would be more free when you got out of high school and left your parents' house? Is there anybody that was as stupid as I was that thought that you'd have all this freedom and liberty only to beg for the day that you could go back and live at mom and dad's house and just have a curfew and maybe have to take out the trash and cut the grass, but everything else you could just do when you wanted? Yeah, so all this freedom and the adulting thing is overrated. There's more restriction in my life as an adult than there ever was as a young person. So what are you going to do now? Will you seek the will of God? Will you do your own thing? Will you try some things in the world for a while just to see how that goes? That's for you to consider. Will you determine to discover your God-called purpose? God-called purpose. When you were born and you were in the hospital, God already knew and had an ordained plan for you. I may not have been planned where my parents decided, okay, 9 months from now, we want to have a son. Probably the moment was right, the mood was right, the lighting was right, the candlelight was right, the dinner was right. 9 months later, ta-da! I think my parents wanted kids. Not sure that they were planning that, you know, here's going to be this child of destiny. But yet, when I was born, God had a plan for me, and God has a plan for you. And so with that, I had to seek diligently. And I was a little bit late in this. I got saved when I was 12. But I really, really in my early 20s, really started seeking, God, what is your plan and your destiny for me? What is my God-called purpose? Now, there's a lot of general things, and I spent a half a year or quarter of a year going through our core values out there, and those are pretty good for all of us. You know, we're all supposed to be disciples and love God with all of our heart, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves, and a lifestyle of prayer. And there's all these things that are good generally, but Bev, you were born for a specific purpose. With all those general things we talk about, every one of us have something that God wants us to do along with those very general principles. And so as you're going now into your future, charting your course and the course God has for you, will you determine, will you seek to discover your God-called purpose? Why is that important? Well, because then the next question is, will you make every decision based on God's will for your destiny? It will start to affect every decision that you make. So when you find the God-called purpose in your life, and you begin to decide what your next step is, further education. Can I tell you that not everybody's called to be full-time ministry? There are people that are pastors that should be an accountant, should be an attorney, should be a mechanic. There's somebody that may be on the mission field that should not be on the mission field. They should have been doing something else in the marketplace. There's also some in the marketplace that have a job that never quit their job, that should have been in ministry, that didn't want to make the jump. The point is, what did God call you to do? That's the key. That's the question. Because whatever that is, that's where you're going to be highly functioning. The best soul winner I ever met, he talked to a class of us out in Stockton, California. He was a pilot for Delta Airlines. Travels all over the world just winning souls. He said, my preaching is talking to people. That's my preaching. He said, I'm almost never behind a microphone. God called me to be an airline pilot. And because I'm an airline pilot, I talk to people all over the globe. I talk to high-end people. I talk to low-end people. I talk to average people. I talk to executives. I talk to all kinds of people. God has called me to be a pilot. So God may call you to be a mechanic. God may call you to be a housewife, that you don't have any job. You're just supposed to stay home and raise your kids. It could be anything, but you have to know. Because then your decisions will wrap around that. You're not going to get an education because somebody's going to be disappointed if I don't. Or I'm going to do this or do that or pastor or somebody else. You have to find out what God is leading you to do so that you can walk into that calling. Your friendships, now what? You're now leaving some of your high school friends and some of your friendships, and you're going to be getting new friends. What's that going to look like? Are they going to be friends that are going to draw you closer to God, or are they going to draw you away from God? We're nice to everybody, and we're friendly and loving to everybody, but we're also careful not to spend an inordinate amount of time with somebody that's going to drain you and drain the virtue from you. So where your friendships draw you closer to your God-called purpose or further away from it? Two girls graduating today, so what about boyfriends? What about your future husband? Is that going to be something that you're going to make sure you're talking to God about? Or is that something you're going to choose for yourself because you see someone and you want to make it happen? Your career path. Your honesty. Your integrity. A number of years ago, I had a job. I quit my job at Ameritech because I thought I had a better opportunity. So I went with a company that was a brokerage firm. I worked there for almost a year, maybe a little over a year, and I saw some ethical things happening. I didn't want to have a price. It wasn't always like this, but I had one phone call one time. It was about a 3 or 4 minute phone call. I made $2,000 in one phone call. This was back in the late 80s. So the opportunity was there to make decent money. One of the guys I worked with, Vern had an 8th grade education, but he was very good at what he did. So Vern, his goal was to get a collector's age Mustang for every day of the week. He was up to 4. He had like a 1966, he had like a 1968, he had a fastback, he had a black one, he just had all these Mustangs that were collector's ones, and he would drive them to work. The problem is honesty. I was honest, but there were some things that I thought were not being done ethically in the company. So one day, I took my books of all my clients that I had worked hard to gain the trust of these clients, and I knew that I couldn't, even though I could say some things to them, I couldn't control what was happening with our company in closed doors. I closed up my books. I went to our vice president and handed him my books. And I said, I'm resigning today. And he said, why are you doing this? I said, because I don't trust the company that I work for. He says, is there any way we can talk you out of this? I said, no, my mind's made up. I slid in my books and I left. I went back to Ameritech. There was nothing open. So I ruined that, I felt like. So I went to Sutherland's on Cemetery Road, Fischinger Road. I'm helping. They hired me on, making a little over minimum wage. I'm unloading mulch from the back of a semi truck with about 6 or 7 guys. And they're throwing bags of mulch. That guy throws it to this guy. He throws it to this guy. I'm down on the ground. They throw it to me. I throw it to this guy. And we're stacking them on pallets here, getting it out of the truck. Well, the conversation started. What did you do before here? Well, I worked at Burger King. What did you do? I worked at Penny's. Where'd you work? And I'm like, oh, no. Because I thought it would stop, but it kept going from person to person. They would say, well, what did you do before this? And I was just hoping that the conversation would start talking about the weather or talk about sports or something. Then it gets to me, hey, Pelham, what'd you do? Man, I caught a bag of mulch. I threw it. I said, I was a stockbroker. And the whole place started laughing. And they said, no, 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 really, really. I said, yeah, I was a senior account executive for Dublin Securities. And I just kept on throwing mulch. And they said, they just laughed again. They said, no, come on, tell us, really, what did you do? So I took off my dirty leather gloves, stuck them in my pocket. I knew I had a couple business cards still left, so I got in my wallet, Dublin Securities, senior account executive, handed it to them, put my wallet back in, put my gloves back on, and said, come on, let's throw some more mulch. And they were shocked. The reason I tell you that story is because my integrity was not for sale. 2 years later, I get a letter from an attorney. There's a class action suit against Dublin Securities. The SEC raided the building and shut them down. And because I was a broker for the company, I was mentioned in that suit, but we had a group attorney for those of us that had left long before all that stuff happened. And myself and many of the others were cleared. It went back to upper level management. I did the right thing. And God blessed me. While I was at Sutherland's, I got a phone call from a lady I used to work with at Ameritech. And I'm telling you why it's important to always be seeking the will of God. She called me, said, my husband works for Frito-Lay. He's an executive at Frito-Lay. He's looking for good work. We don't have anything open at Ameritech. You want to talk to my husband? I said, yes. I went for a ride along, got back to the office afterwards. He talked to the guy that I rode with. He said, I'm offering you a job. Told me the amount. It was more than I was making at Ameritech. So I said, well, before I give you a final answer, do you mind if I go home and pray about it and let you know tomorrow? He said, no, absolutely. I get home, and on my recorder, now you'll have to ask your parents or somebody else what a phone recorder is. You might have to ask them what a phone is other than a pocket phone, but a mobile phone. But phones, we had wires that went into the wall. Some of them had like the curly thing on the handset. And if you really were high end, it had something in it called a cassette. It had an outgoing message, and then you could leave a message. Well, I get home from that job offer with Frito-Lay, and I push the button, and here's what I hear. Hey, Bill, this is Sean Phelps with Ameritech. We got a job for you. The same day Frito-Lay offers me a job, I get a call back from Ameritech wanting to hire me back. Now I'm conflicted. God, I want to do your will. I want to do your will. I want to do your will. I called Neil Maurer. He worked for Hostess, and he had a route job. And he said, you'll make good money, Bill, but then they'll split your route, and then you'll leave in the morning, and you'll come back late, and you'll miss your kids' ball games and all that. You'll provide well for your family. It's a hard life, but it'll be a good job. You'll make a lot of money. I'm conflicted. I don't know what to do. And here's what I feel like the Lord told me. In this position, I'm giving you a choice. What do you want to do? Both of them are my will. Pick the one you want. I'm blessing you because of your honesty and integrity back here. I'm blessing you here. I have watched God bless us. Stupid blessings our life because we try to follow the will of God. And it's not always following the will of God in that moment. Sometimes it's sacrifice. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's struggle. Sometimes he's asking you to do things you don't think you can even have the resources to pull it off. But if you trust him, he will come through. And I can tell you testimonies, unbelievable testimonies of how God has done that for us. So now what with your honesty and integrity? Now what are you going to do when it's time to do your taxes and you want to save a little money? What are you going to do when you could do this and get ahead in business? And when you're going to do, and you, if you sacrifice your Christianity, you might get this. If you don't let somebody know you're a believer, you might get this promotion. You might get this job, or you might get this opportunity with a friend. Now what? Will you do your own thing? Or where you seek God's will. This is all about graduation. Everybody say graduation. But you see, we all graduate. And I'm not talking high school. Because here's what I see happen all the time. And it's going to happen to you. And it is has happened and is currently happening with us. Let me tell you what it looks like for all of us that are graduating. We make decisions like, I'll be happy when. Well, we also make decisions like what we're going to do for God when. And so it could look like this. Well, when I graduate from high school, I'll be able to get more involved at church. I'll be able to get more involved and do something for God. But now I got to start a career. Now I just want the summer off. I just want to sleep in and eat Fruit Loops till noon. And so I just want to do that this summer, and then I'll do something for God. And then we get into September, and then you start a job. Now what? Well, as soon as I got to get to know this job, and so I got to spend some time getting this, and all the while God is wanting you to fulfill your God-called purpose, but I got to start back to college. I'm going to college, or I'm starting a new job, and then you graduate from that, and then I'm in a new relationship right now, and that's taking some time, and so. You know, I'm going to do something for God at some point. And then there's marriage, and now there's wedding plans, and now there's all this. And as soon as we get married and things will settle down, you know, after the honeymoon, then things will settle down. And then there's the honeymoon, and things don't settle down. In fact, they accelerate, and you're still wanting to do God's purpose in your life, but it's just a lot going on. And by the time you feel like maybe it's time, then we got to look for a house. You know, we've had an apartment for a while. Now we're looking at buying a house. And then there's rehab on the house. And there's, can anybody relate to what I'm talking about? And on and on and on. And then you know, well, once we start having kids, we said this, that when we have kids, things will start to slow down. Because now we'll have to be home all the time. Yeah, well, who knew kids would like to do things? And then it's little league ball, and it's t-ball, and it's this, and it's piano lessons, and it's on and on, and school, and there's some kind of thing they have to do after school, and decorate a float, and do all these things, and all of a sudden you find yourself so busy. And you know what? As soon as the kids graduate, then we'll be able to do something for the Lord. Now what? Life is a series of now what's. And then we say, well, when the kids graduate, then it'll just be us. But then when the kids graduate, then they start getting into serious relationships. And now you're helping them with their wedding plans. And then there's grandbabies coming. Now what? You see, it's another graduation. And our entire lives, and I see a lot of heads nodding right now because we can all relate to all these seasons that we think that it's going to slow up. We think that there's going to be a better time. We think that there's going to be a better opportunity. But you know what? We just have to do God's will in whatever season we're in. And so what you're practicing right now with your now what, graduating from high school, is the first of a very long series of now what's. If anybody knows what I'm talking about, shout amen. 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 And then the kids move out. You weren't, that was, we wasn't supposed to on that part. That's a little too eager. And then you retire. Yes, even people that think that things slow up after retirement, come and tell me, I'm busier now than I've ever been. And there's more things. I don't even know how I held it all together and held a job at the same time. And it's another graduation. And now what? I have a few scriptures to share with you. And again, I hope that you all are getting what I'm saying here, that this graduation challenge today is not just for those graduating from high school, that wherever you are in your season of life, that you're answering the question, now what, in the context of what God has called you to do. And are you doing it? Or are you waiting for the next season to free up? few scriptures to share with you. 2 Timothy 1 through 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So as you go into your future, this is what God's desire is for you. So if you don't have that, you have to ask yourself, not is it God's will? It is God's will. God has not given you the spirit of fear. Anxiety is today's word of the day. It's fear, ongoing fear. God has not given us the spirit of anxiety, of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. That's God's will for you. So if you're not experiencing that, then you have to determine, where am I out of alignment? Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. This is spoken to Israel, but it's spoken to his chosen people, the people that he loves. So I think that we could apply it. I think there's an application here, even though it was spoken. It was a prophetic word for Israel, but I think that we could see the heartbeat of God in this. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord." What are his thoughts towards us? "Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Again, he's got a plan for you. "Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken, I will hear unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search me with all of your heart." See, I received the Holy Ghost and I got baptized at 12. But I didn't find out my God called purpose till I was about 21, because I don't think it was really till then that I was seeking with everything within me to find out, God, what is it? What do you have for me? What am I supposed to do? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him after graduation." And every other graduation. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." I have found out through my life that my life and your life will consist of a series of well-made or poorly made small decisions. Very few major decisions. So use wisdom and ask for God's help. Most people don't end up in financial ruin because of one bad decision. It's squandering their money over a long period of time. Consequently, a lot of people that have a decent savings and have a comfortable retirement is not because they made one killer decision and they bought Bitcoin at 50 cents. It's because they ate home a lot and they wore their clothes longer than everybody else. And they paid off their cars and continued to drive it when everybody else was buying new cars. And they had some staycations. And they budgeted those little decisions so that they didn't just eat out all the time. They knew that the dollar saved here and there would add up over time. I close with this. So is following the will of God beneficial? I could tell you stories, and you know about the truck, and you guys know about some of the other things that God has done in my life that has just been amazing stuff. I want to tell you a story. Where's McCullen? Is he still here? Is he back working in the... He's back there working. I was talking to Colley at... He drives all the way up here just to help us with worship and play the bass. Now he's back there. Yeah, there he is. Back there running cameras, sucking water out of the air conditioning unit with a shop vac. Not, you know, he's not like got a hose and he's siphoning. I was talking to Cully one day at church. This is several months ago, and just small talk. I said, "Hey, Cully, how's it going?" His name's McCullen, but he's Cully. He's our adopted kid. Our kids are adopted into his parents, Hutch and Tiana's family. Our kids are adopted in their family. His kids are adopted into mine. Tristan took it a step farther and married my daughter. So we love Cully. So I say, "Hey, Cully, what's going on?" He said, "Oh, not much." I said, "How's work going?" He said, "Eh, it's going all right." I said, just all right? He said, yeah. I said, what's going on? I said, how's the job going? He said, well, the job's, you know, decent. But I drive to Zanesville every day. I said, man, that's quite a drive. I said, but is it, I mean, it's got to be worth it, right? I mean, you doing all right? He's like, Pastor, I could make more money at Burger King. I said, what? He said, no, I'm not joking. I really could make more money at Burger King. He's a smart kid. He's good with people. He's in college. He's taking some classes in engineering, and he's a smart, bright kid. Why are you there then? You know, I'm thinking, man, economy's tougher than I thought. Sharp kid like this. I said, why are you there? He said, well, I feel like God told me to be there. I've wanted to leave a couple of times, but I feel like God wants me to be there. Here's a guy that quit his job and his career to follow ministry. And I wanted to say, are you sure? I mean, I love him. He's not an object lesson for me. I love this guy. So he said, I feel like God wants me to be there. I see his skill set and I see his giftings. And I'm like, on the inside, I'm like, really? But I said, all right. God's in it. God said it. God will bless you. I walk away and I'm like, all right, God, I hope it's really you, because he's got a lot to offer. He felt like there's a couple guys there that he was getting a pretty good relationship with and were asking some God questions, and so he was just feeling like he was supposed to be there. See, what I'm talking about is the difference between success and faithfulness. He did that as long as God was telling him to do that. God finally lifted that. He has a job right now that he probably could not have custom ordered on a piece of paper. I would like these hours. I would like this pay. I would like this flexibility. I would like this. I would like these kind of people to work with. He probably could not have custom asked for what he's doing right now. How does that happen? Because if you're seeking the will of God, there will be difficult times and circumstances. But then there will be times where God's going to say, were faithful among few things. I'm going to bless you. I told you my dad was the inspector for Sears, the home improvement department. You know who he gave some of the worst jobs to? There was a couple guys there that he said would work hard. They would do anything I asked them to do. So he gave the nasty, the ugly, the dirty jobs to them. But guess when he had a gravy job that was an apartment complex, that was a roof that was just straight and long, that was going to be a lot of money to be made, guess who he gave those jobs to? Those same guys that would do those jobs that nobody wanted to do. My dad would bless them with the gravy jobs that would come along too. And I believe God wants to bless people that will follow him and just respond and be faithful when he asks us to do something. And then he will bless us later. And I've watched him be blessed because of his faithfulness. Matthew 25, 20 through 21, as we all stand. So what is God? So now what? What is God expecting? So now what? It says in verse 20, and so he that hath received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and say successful. He didn't say successful. He didn't say, I didn't say, say successful. He didn't say successful. Because to him, faithful is success. That's what he's wanting from us, is faithfulness. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Graduates, the goal is to be faithful, not successful. Faithful is how God measures things. Success is how man measures things. For a season, people would have looked at him going through college, graduate of high school. Why do you have this job making so few dollars? That doesn't seem like you're being very successful. But God was asking him to be faithful, not to be successful, not even to be successful in anybody else's eyes or any man's eyes, other than, can you be faithful with what I'm asking you to do? And when he did, God honored and blessed him. I would like these graduates and the families to come up here right in the middle. And if you've been with them, and whether it's the TCT family or in children's ministry or a youth ministry, or if you've been connected to these families in any way, then I want you to come up and we're going to join together with these two young ladies and we're going to pray with them and for them. So I want us to gather together here today. And then we have a presentation for them in just a moment. It's tough for any young person to serve God in these days. I would contend it's even tougher for our ladies. So I'm very proud of them for making their stand and serving God the way that they have. Let's all, if you're out there still, just kind of point your hands towards these ladies and let's pray for them.